sun hit him square in the eyes. He shielded them, but for a moment, he was blinded. He knew that road like the back of his hand. So he didn't panic, just shifted towards the center line. Didn't want to end up in them drainage ditches. He felt a slight thump in his car, figured he'd hit some loose critter.
Oh no.
He wasn't speeding, around 30 miles per hour, no rush, and gas was a mere 25 cents a gallon. He slowed, came to a stop.
No.
He glanced over his shoulder and saw a young boy heading his way. He thought, I hope I didn't run over his dog. Then he saw the boy's mother chasing after him, fear in her eyes.
Welcome back to Life's Learning Curve.
Life's Learning Curve.
Storytelling. Our own life stories, full of humor, some cringeworthy moments, and at times, a grander purpose. Did you ever wonder just how you became the person you are today? That's us.
Storytelling.
Welcome our host, Winner Winner Chicken Dinner, Mark Twain Wannabe, Paul Hart.
Mark Twain. Wow. Yeah. Is he still around?
You know, in the inaugural episode of Life's Learning Curve show, the episode was titled Your Last Flight Out. I had the privilege of sitting down for a conversation with my old friend and accomplished author, Clay Greger. Now, you might be wondering, who's Clay Greger?
Yeah.
Well, let me take you on a journey through a chance encounter I had in the heart of Key West, Florida back in 2002, which was my first time just visiting on vacation with my family. Now, our meeting was not just happenstance. I ask you to join me as we revisit his words in a segment I'm calling The Art of Being Clay. Clay Greger.
Here we go.
Life's Learning Curve with Paul Hart. Episode, The Art of Being Clay, The Early Years. Stand by.
Clay in his store called Last Flight Out. It embodied something more profound than just your average person. This guy was a veritable supermarket of life. A general store, if you will. A place to get a little bit of everything. One-stop shop for wisdom, a connection, personal connection, a lot of laughter. And unbeknownst to my family and me, a source of mentoring. A sanctuary where you could reset your state of mind. For Clay, there was always no room for gossip. No time for negativity. He was a positive guy. That was just time wasting to him. And absolutely no place for anxieties. I like that.
I'd be around like kind people.
Yeah.
I have to be around winners. I have to be around people who will never surrender. I don't like negative conversation. And that's the only people that I can surround myself with. Consequently, if you want to be a doctor, hang around doctors. You want to be a welder, hang around welders. Well, that's it. Welders don't go to doctors' conventions, and doctors don't go to welders' conventions. They don't belong there. I'm not a jewelry salesman selling toe rings and nose plugs over here, so I have nothing in common with them, you know. But I do have a lot in common with other people in this town are working on their own future and are aggressive about it.
It was a haven for sharing ideas and reflecting on, well, our lives, right? It's what we knew, it's what we know of, what we personally experience. Remarkable. Well, a few weeks back, probably two, I received a phone call that shook me to the core. He had left us. He departed from this world. In that moment, I was overwhelmed. I still am. With the desire to celebrate and remember some of Clay's earliest writings penned so many years ago, I thought this would be a good place to share some of his work right here on the podcast.
Paul reads Clay's words.
Now, here's a little about the earliest version of me. I hailed from the humble, coal-dusted town of Shamokin, Pennsylvania, nestled deep within the heart of the anthracite coal region. My journey began when I graduated from Coal Township High School in 1958, marking the end of my formal education. Though I grew up in a world touched by austerity and teetering on the edge of poverty, I found my life to be, well, exciting. That's just the way I saw it all. Every little thing was exciting. To make ends meet, I found myself grinding my life away in the mines, the coal mines, and I worked on surrounding farms, amassing a wealth of experiences that set me apart from most of my schoolmates. My earliest skills were in mining and farming, and that thrust me into adulthood's realm quite early, sparking my curiosity about, you know, the wider world. From my earliest recollections, I voraciously consumed books. It was my sole means of escaping the depths of the mines, which I descended into every day before school. In those early years, my life was a cloudy bubble tossed about relentlessly. Understanding it all was a distant prospect. Looking back, I realized that my ignorance in my life in those early years served me well.
The accident.
Let's go back to about 7 years old for me. On a crisp, breezy day in early October, the sixth of the month, I'd been chasing my younger brother, Ed. In my ma's tale, he was called Edward. She never told me his real name was John Martin Jr. Ed was wanting to ride in his little wagon, and we were playing. To get away from me, Ed darted out into the road, never seeing that car that took his life coming. My ma and my pa told me that his death was because of me, because I was supposed to watch him. Now, my ma's version of this story has lingered with me because it was so gruesome.
You didn't watch your brother. Now he's gone. I hope you're happy, Clay. Clay.
See, I have to tell you, well, years later, when I started to put words to paper, much later in my life, and that was a few years before I'd learned the truth about my brother John, about me being a bastard child, and about the accident, I penned my own version that I knew of from that time, and I called it The Accident. Here's how that one goes.
He'd wrapped up his work, headed home on an early autumn day. The breeze cooling him down. All the windows were down in his 1939 Chevrolet, and that fresh air gave him a new lease on life. There wasn't much traffic on that road. Never was. It was one of them two-lane highways meant to connect them small towns to the county seat, but most folks head up and left. The road was never rightly finished. No shoulders, just deep ditches for water runoff. It followed the land's contours, hills and curves all along the way. As he came over a small rise, the sun hit him square in the eyes.
Can't see.
He shielded them, but for a moment, he was blinded. He knew that road like the back of his hand. So he didn't panic, just shifted towards the center line. Didn't want to end up in them drainage ditches. He felt a slight thump in his car, figured he'd hit some loose critter. He wasn't speeding, around 30 miles per hour, no rush, and gas was a mere 25 cents a gallon. He slowed, came to a stop. He glanced over his shoulder and saw a young boy heading his way. He thought, God, I hope I didn't run over his dog. Then he saw the boy's mother chasing after him, fear in her eyes. He got out of the car, walked around the back, and there, tangled up in the rear bumper, was another tiny child, just hanging there, looking like roadkill. Couldn't even tell if it was a boy or a girl.
So at that time, being very young, 7 years old, my brother's death, my stepbrother's death, my ma's anger, my pa's anger, which just turned into not talking to me. It was running my life and ruining it. Their attitudes shaped my life at that time, though I didn't know it back then. Heck, it was what I thought every seven-year-old was going through. I don't recall those days before the accident, and maybe that's a good thing. After that tragedy, my Aunt Ruth took me in.
Yes.
I do remember some of my time with her and her roommate Alice, who I called Aunt as well.
Clay, we want you to come and live with us for a while your parents get over this. Come on, we'll have a great time together.
Thanks, Aunt Ruth. Sure. Okay.
So I did. And about a year later, Aunt Ruth and Aunt Alice up and moved to Colorado. I was too young to understand much about lifestyles and such, but I sure did miss Aunt Ruth. Now, she did come back once for a visit a few years later.
Here you go, Clay.
Whoa, cowboy boots. I'm never taking these off, ever.
Yep, she gave me a pair of cowboy boots. I'll tell you, I wore those boots till I outgrew them and popped right out of the seams. And I never did see her again. That was the last time I ever saw Aunt Ruth. Why? I don't know, but I did know that Pa moved us away from that house where the accident happened to an old farmhouse far away from that highway. The new house was at the end of a narrow dirt road, and I guess he didn't want the cars passing by the new house at all. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe it was something else. I remember we got a dog. It was my pal. When you grow up on a farm,
come on, boy. Come on.
It's your best friend. For a farm kid, a dog can become your best friend really easy. And I can't recall how long we stayed at that house, but it was a peaceful place. It was a two-story with a sulfur creek running through the backyard. Stunk something fierce because of the mine runoff. But there was a big weeping willow tree with a swing right underneath it. So on one fateful day, I hoisted my best friend, my dog, up onto that swing. Yet a cruel twist of fate saw his leg and snarled between the slats, leaving him with a fractured limb. The dog's pained yelps reached my father's ears at the house, summoning him from the house to investigate. Now witnessing the poor thing dangling by one leg, my father returned to the house.
There's only one thing to do now.
Emerging with his shotgun in a heart-wrenching moment, devoid of words or solace, he ended the suffering of my pal, my loyal companion, with a single reverberating shot. Air of finality, he consigned the lifeless form into that sulfur creek. It was one of the rare instances in my life when tears welled up in my eyes and I cried. You know, life could be terrifying, but all I knew at that age was what I knew. That was the real world life, my life at that time. That's a good start on Clay's childhood. And so we have to ask ourselves, what is our takeaway for today? What did we learn? What did Clay learn? Well, in today's episode, a very young Clay Greger struggles to figure out what is happening in his life. And he desperately tries to find his footing, as Clay is told he's the one responsible for the death of his stepbrother and also being irresponsible and losing his dog, his best friend. Clay works as an 8-year-old child laborer in a Pennsylvania coal mine, and he tries to make sense of the constant chaos going around him. So what do you think? Should young Clay have stayed with Aunt Ruth and Aunt Alice, or should he have returned back home again, like he did? Hey, I know we still have part 2 of Criminals, Outcasts, and Artists to edit and get out to you. That was supposed to come sequentially next, but like I said, this gentleman was a dear friend of mine, and he had so much to share. It will be out very soon, so thank you for indulging me. This was a hard loss for me, quite honestly, and I wanted to get this episode up and out as soon as possible, so thank you. For today, I hope you like the premiere of The Art of Being Clay, Clay Greger. Come on back next time. For Life's Learning Curve, I'm Paul Hardy.
When we're older, we will say, what a life I think we made it. We worked hard and never said quit, my love. When we're older, the kids will say, the Lord bless you and keep you, and everything that you do take heart. You are strong, you are brave, you are all you meant to be. Everything you ever dreamed came true. When you laugh, when you cry, I'll be always on your side and thank God for you and me. Thank God for you and me.
Subscribe to Life's Learning Curve at lifeslearningcurve.org and leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or Podchaser.
Episode 81, Season 5 of the Life's Learning Curve podcast, The Art of Being Clay, The Early Years, was put together by Sebastian T. Dogg and Paul Hart. Find us just about everywhere podcasts are heard. Our website, lifeslearningcurve.org. While you're there, please subscribe. We'd love to have you aboard. This episode has imaginative voice recreations. To protect the privacy of others, some names have been changed and characters conflated. Episode 81, Season 5 of Life's Learning Curve Podcast, The Art of Being Clay, The Early Years. For more lifelong stories and realer-than-real experiences, catch us next time, right here on Life's Learning Curve. We're clear.